So some of you may know that I spent this past year doing a clinical pastoral education internship at Meritor Hospital in Madison. After battling back from my climbing accident and all the surgeries and feeling the need to prove how resilient and strong I was, I felt a strong desire to return deeper into the tender experience of suffering, this time alongside others. Understanding the potential isolation folks are apt to feel when the world continues on as usual, companioning patients and families through illness, tragedy, and death, and loss has felt like an auger into my being. The exquisiteness of this tender, fragile journey has been and continues to be a window into the embodiment of the human condition in its truest sense. And I've witnessed many kinds of love. Often, though, this happens through retrospective reflection, as quote-unquote love doesn't always look like what I was accustomed to thinking love looked like. Of course, CPE has not been without its fallout. One particularly difficult Thursday, after dealing with two deaths, one a young man at the age of 42 coming into the ER with complications of a heroin overdose, and a beloved mother of four adult children in the ICU. I returned home feeling grateful for my mostly loving husband and children. That evening, I awoke at 3 a.m. to glance over at my peacefully sleeping Scott, hands clasped across his abdomen in true funeral style, utterly certain that his chest was not raising and lowering. I leaned in closer and confirmed, no movement, gasp. Feeling surely that he had suffered a silent cardiac arrest, I nudged him in the ribcage. Huh? What? What? He uttered, shaking his head and looking at me. Oh, good, I replied. I was scared because it looked like you weren't breathing. Ha, so you thought I was dead, he responded. Aw, that's cute. Feeling grateful and relieved in that moment, I laid my head on his chest, which was now raising and lowering, and I fell back to sleep. The truth is, doing this work has made me painfully aware of our impermanence. Most of the time, we just go on living our lives as we should, engaging with one another in meaningful, purposeful, and creative ways which are enriching to the world and the communities we live in. Sometimes, out of fear, we sabotage these interactions or the potential for deep connection. Why not? The pain of rejection and abandonment is scary. And we intuitively know too well that life is full of risk and decisions which impact how our lives unfold. Okay, opening up oneself to accept love is risky. On the other side of love is loss. We shudder to think of losing those we love, and for me it's the number one fear on my fear list. But what is the alternative to loving? One of the gifts of adopting children with histories of abandonment and trauma is the ability to learn in a deeper way about all of those theories that I learned about in graduate school. Those regarding a child's first 2 years and the attachment that happens to caregivers and parental figures during these times. My daughter Jade had a best friend, and we're told that she and Ethan would hold hands through the bars of their cribs as they fell asleep at night. We have pictures of her too. We knew these two were close because when we brought Jade home, she would often look for her in closets and call for her. Believe it or not, it was really cute and heartbreaking. We'll be visiting Ethan, now named Emma, this summer in Maine. On the other hand, we have numerous reasons to strongly believe that our son Kai was kept isolated and alone. When he came to us in the early days, he avoided eye contact and human touch. And he showed behaviors which were either superficially charming on one hand or kind of repulsive on the other. These were skills that he learned to keep himself safe. As his only experience with caregivers up until this time was met with pain of isolation and abandonment and feeling alone. Yes, this is trauma. And the implications can be lifelong. But I've taken away so much from the experience of trying to love a child who at their core really wants to push you away. To live is to risk. I think that we all have a little bit of Kai inside of ourselves, where our fears of not being good enough, smart enough, or acceptable can become paralyzing. It is tempting to hide behind our title or our role or our spouse or our image or our whatever it is, fill in the blank. Somehow, I think living into our potential got skewed into thinking about success or career goals, when I really believe that this potential is achieved when we truly embrace all that we are without fear and are able to be with one another in our real genuineness. Very often, love doesn't look like love at all. It can even appear quite the opposite. Someone who comes to mind is a mother whose daughter died of complications of alcoholism recently. On the surface, she seemed really hard and detached, kind of an unlikable character. When talking with her mother in great deal, she simply said, "It has been like a slow death, really. Mary just wasn't herself anymore. The years of alcoholism eroded her soul and our family. It feels like I've been grieving all along." We tend to forget the ripple effect emotional, physical, and spiritual trauma can have on systems and families. And that what may appear as coldness may be a learned, appropriate, and healthy boundary where loving means setting limits and we have no guarantee of any outcome. And last, to truly love is to abide with loss. This may mean loss of a certain vision or dream or belief. It might mean learning that your brother is gay and you never thought of him that way growing up, but suddenly you experience an existential rightness when embracing him for who he is. The loss might be giving up your career to spend more time with your family or taking more time away because you know yourself well enough that it helps you keep your sanity. Aging parents, acquiring disability, abandoning a treasured belief system which once worked well for us, the list of losses is endless. But one thing is certain. There is always a good degree of heart-wrenching involved. Love and loss always seem to go hand in hand. People often ask the question, isn't it hard to do a hospital chaplaincy with all of the sickness, loss, and death? My answer is always a resounding no. In fact, it's just the opposite. Looking loss in the face regularly helps me to really appreciate who is in my life in a way that I hadn't before. Knowing that nothing is permanent helps drive home the gratitude to live each day, each moment more fully. Living in a world that is unpredictable, with a body that is unpredictable, and a future that is unpredictable, is part of the human condition. But we have a choice to remain open to all of the seasons of our lives. May we be blessed to know the pain of too much tenderness, to be wounded by our own faulty understandings of love, and to be guided by the deep wellspring of trust, which comes from embracing the ebb and flow of life much more fully. May we be strong enough to accept love and bold enough to give it freely, without hesitation and without fear.